Let's read together Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. In this first portion of Luke chapter 9, the Lord sends his disciples out on a preaching mission, and then we have the well-known miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 6. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, "Take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them." So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Let's begin our study of this portion of Luke chapter 9 with some background notes. In the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, we have a few more details about this preaching mission of the 12 disciples. In Mark's Gospel, we learn that the Lord sent the apostles out in pairs, Mark chapter 6 and verse 7. And in Matthew's Gospel, we learn that the Lord told the apostles to limit their ministry to the Jews only, Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. Question: why did the Lord give these instructions? Why were the disciples to go to the Jews only? Answer: because at this point in our Lord's ministry, the earthly kingdom of the Messiah that had been predicted in the Old Testament prophecies was being offered to Israel. The kingdom of heaven was at hand. This is the message that John the Baptist preached, and this is the message that the 12 were to preach. The message would be back with power. Demons would be cast out, and the sick would be healed. The kingdom of heaven was at hand. Would Israel accept the king and his kingdom? Would Jesus be received by the nation as their promised Messiah? We know the answer. The king and his kingdom were rejected by Israel. Now the gospel of God's grace goes out to the whole world, as directed by the Lord in his great commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Now, although the Lord's directives to the disciples were specifically for the presentation of the kingdom to the Jews at that time, there are principles here for preaching the gospel today. We'll look at four divine principles for preaching the gospel under our first doctrinal point. So, doctrinal point number one: there are divine principles for preaching the gospel. There are divine principles for preaching the gospel. The first principle that we see is in verse 3. Travel light. And he said to them, "Take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece." Travel light. This is a good principle for Christian living today, as well as preaching the gospel. Travel light. The more stuff you have, the harder it is to concentrate on your mission, because you have to be concerned about all your accumulated stuff. Stay streamlined. Travel light. The second divine principle that we see is in verse 4. Stay put. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. Stay put. That is, once you get set up, put your energies to work in getting the gospel proclaimed, not in moving to bigger and better accommodations. Now, this does not mean that you can't change locations, but let the Lord open those doors. You concentrate on your mission, not on your lodging. Verse 5 gives us a third principle. Don't force feed. Don't force feed. Verse 5, "And whoever will not receive you when you go out from that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them." Don't force feed. If people don't want to hear and receive the gospel, don't force it down their throats. They are free to reject the message. Shaking the dust off your feet in that culture meant that the possibility of fellowship had ended. A final divine principle for preaching the gospel we see in verse 10, report back. "And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done." Report back. We report back to the Lord in prayer and let him guide us and encourage us. In the book of Acts, we see that the Apostle Paul practiced this principle by also reporting back to the church and to the Lord's people who had sent him out to preach the gospel. So we've applied our Lord's directives to his disciples here to preaching the good news today. There are divine principles for preaching the gospel. Doctrinal point number two. There are divine principles for ministering to many. There are divine principles for ministering to many. We see these principles in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Let's read about that miracle in verses 10 through 17. Luke chapter 9, beginning now at verse 10. And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, "Send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle of our Lord that is reported in all 4 Gospels, other than the resurrection. In this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, we see principles for running a ministry where lots of people are involved, and really any ministry. Principle number 1, give bread. Give bread. What we mean by this principle is to give both physical bread and spiritual bread. People have physical needs, and as the Lord healed their diseases, verse 11, and gave them literal bread, so we should minister to the physical needs of hurting people wherever we can. But people also need spiritual bread for their hungry souls. Notice that verse 11 says that the Lord welcomed them and began to speak to them about the kingdom of God. And we know from John chapter 6, that the Lord gave his bread of life discourse to these same crowds. We too need to minister to the souls of people as well as to their bodies. Give bread. A second principle is to get organized. Get organized. We see in verse 14 that the Lord had his disciples organize the people in groups of 50. You can't minister to large groups of people if your ministry is not organized. Ask the Lord for guidance as you grow. A third divine principle that we see in this miracle is the obvious one. Glorify Christ. Glorify Christ. The disciples brought the 5 loaves and 2 fish to the Lord, and he blessed them, and he multiplied them. The disciples did not steal the show. They only passed out the bread. What about us? It's very tempting when you're ministering to large numbers of people to want the limelight. This is my ministry. This is my prosperous and growing church. Be careful. Let the Lord have the limelight. Glorify Christ. And a final divine principle for ministering to many is found in verse 17. Gather leftovers. That is, don't waste anything. It's very easy in large ministry programs to waste the Lord's money. The Lord will supply the needs of the ministry, but not for waste. So gather leftovers. From the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, we've seen divine principles for ministering to many. There are divine principles for ministering to many. Now, what about practical application from this first portion of Luke chapter 9? Don't pass the point of no return. Don't pass the point of no return. Verses 7 through 9. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. Herod said, John I have beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? So he sought to see him. Herod was trying to see the Lord, but was unsuccessful in his attempts. Why? Because Herod was only curious. He had no intent of repenting of his sins, and thus God did not allow Herod to find Jesus. Herod finally did get to see the Lord in Jerusalem during the time of the Lord's trial, but Jesus would not speak a word to Herod. Why not? Because Herod had silenced the voice of God to him when he had beheaded John the Baptist. Herod had passed the point of no return. God is gracious, but it is possible to reject God once too often. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, God said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever." When a person continually rejects the Lord and the gospel, a hardening process sets in, and it becomes more and more impossible to repent. Proverbs 29 verse 1 says, "He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Proverbs 29, 1. Don't pass the point of no return. Practical application number 2. Let's use our interruptions as opportunities. Let's use our interruptions as opportunities. Now, we've all had the experience of being interrupted in our busy schedules or carefully laid out plans for the future, right? Generally, we don't like these interruptions, whether it be a small one, like some stranger sitting next to us on a plane or a bus who wants to talk and we don't want to talk, or a big interruption, like a major breakdown of a vehicle when we're on a business trip or family vacation. Well, what do we do when we experience these interruptions? As believers, we should try to follow the example of our Lord and use them as opportunities to witness or minister to the needs of people. Look again at verses 10 and 11 and see how the Lord used an interruption as an opportunity to minister to the needs of people. The Lord had taken his disciples on a little rest and relaxation retreat after they had returned from their busy preaching mission. But they were soon interrupted by the multitudes. Notice how this interruption did not cause the Lord to be angry or rattled in any way. He welcomed these folks and began to minister to both their physical and spiritual needs. And he expected his disciples to do the same, as we see in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. They used the interruption as an opportunity to serve. You know, the Lord expects us to do the same. Let's use our interruptions as opportunities. Illustration. As most of you know, I recently experienced the completely unexpected interruption of heart bypass surgery. Quite an interruption to the plans that I had. Well, praise the Lord, I was able to use this interruption as an opportunity to share the gospel with both my cardiologist and surgeon. Let's use our interruptions as opportunities.